This past week, we were all shocked by the events in Dallas. How tragic it is that the sniper attacked so many innocent people, killing five police officers. Worse yet, just the hatred involved, the idea of he wanted to kill white police officers. John Lewis, a congressman who had worked through the civil rights times, commented, "Racism has to stop." How true. It has to stop on all sides. One of the ladies who was in the protest said, "The hatred has to stop." Absolutely. But as St. Francis of Assisi said, "Where there's hatred, we have to bring about love." So, we then think of how CNN had a headline that Father Farrell showed me on their website, and it was, "Who will heal us?" Good question. Who? Well, the answer is Jesus. Jesus is the only one who's going to bring healing to this country. And so, my brothers and sisters, we look at our gospel today and we find a very beautiful teaching of how you and I, who identify as Christians, are called to live. And with that, how to bring healing, but how to make our community, our society better. So the scholar of the law approached our Lord, really to test him, and asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Well, to inherit eternal life, one has to live life with God now. So what's the investment we have to make? Well, Jesus said, "How do you read the law?" And the man rightly answered, "Love God with your whole heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself." Good answers. Any good Orthodox Jew knew those are the two primary laws. But we cannot forget that those laws, those two laws, are based on the Ten Commandments. That's what we hear in our first reading. Moses says, "These are the laws of the Lord, how to live life with him now and forever." So when we think of loving God with our whole heart, mind, and soul, we remember those first three commandments that say, there is one true God, that we do not take God's name in vain. We keep holy the Sabbath, worshiping on Sunday, taking time for prayer. In all, God comes first. There's no other God. Problem with our world today, even our country, we've made other things gods. We've made politics gods, political parties gods, money gods, power gods, whatever it may be. No, there's one God. God has to be first in our lives. And you and I have to make sure that God is always first. That's why how good it is we're here on Sunday to worship God. But during the week, it's very important that we take time for daily prayer, to give God his due, and to make sure that God reigns in our homes, that God is truly king in our homes. But then comes how we love our neighbor, because if we love God, then that overflows with loving neighbor. So look at the last seven, honor your father and your mother, meaning we should respect all those who have legitimate authority. But those in authority need to exercise that authority justly, because they've been entrusted by God with that authority. Thou shalt not kill. Every life matters, that all life is sacred from conception until natural death. Every person has human dignity. Thou shalt not commit adultery. In that, each of us has been given by God a sexual identity, and marriage between a man and a woman is beautiful, and conjugal love between husband and wife is beautiful and sacred. Thou shalt not steal. In that, we are fair and just in all our dealings with everyone. Thou shalt not bear false witness. We speak the truth, and that's God's truth. We don't give in to this moral relativism. We just don't buy into some ideology. We speak God's truth. And we do not covet, then, neighbor's wife or neighbor's goods, meaning We are grateful for what we have. It's not the mentality of, I have to have what you have, I want everything free for me, classless society, whatever. No, work hard, be grateful for what you have, strive to do the best you can. And with that, help those who are in need. Don't be envious, but help those. Make the sacrifices to help others. We'll pause here. If we just lived these commandments, which really are all very reasonable commandments, think how much different our world would be. I remember in the 1960s that these commandments were posted even in public school buildings, in most courthouses. Even the Our Father was posted there. And then the Supreme Court said, oh no, we can't do that. Look what's happened. Frankly, my brothers and sisters, what's happening now in our country reminds me of growing up back in the 1960s. We need to get back to God. But then, we have to take those commandments and truly enact them, because mercy is the enactment of love. So if we really believe in those commandments, during this year of mercy especially, we ought to be striving to perform those corporal and spiritual works of mercy, such as feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, shelter the homeless, visit the sick, visit the imprisoned, bury the dead, and the spiritual works of mercy, instruct the ignorant, counsel the doubtful, admonish the sinner, console the sorrowful, bear wrongs patiently, forgive injuries, and pray for the living and the dead. Again, if we enacted these works of mercy, think how better our communities, our families, our very lives would be. It's all about putting God first. And in a way, it reminds us that we're called as Christians to look upon others as Christ. Jesus said, whatever you do to the least of your brothers, that you do unto me. But there's another dimension. So the scholar of the law asked our Lord, well, who's my neighbor? Was it just my Jewish neighbor? Is it my friend, my family member? Who? Who's really my neighbor? And so he told the parable of the Good Samaritan, very familiar to us, about how this poor man was traveling down the Roman road that connects Jerusalem with Jericho, very winding, treacherous road going through the mountains. It descended 3,600 feet from Jerusalem to Jericho. Robbers notoriously hung out there, and he's robbed, beaten, stripped, left for dead. And then the priest passes by. Then the Levite passes by. Levites were temple helpers. The Torah said that if they had come into contact with blood or with a corpse, they could not do their temple duties for 7 days. So let's not risk being merciful here. Just do our duty, pass on, think of what I need to do. But then comes the Samaritan. That's the shocker, because Samaritans were considered worse than pagans by the Jews. The Samaritans lived in the old northern part of the kingdom. 700 years before our Lord, the Assyrians invaded. So there's all this intermarriage between Jew and Assyrian pagan. The religious customs interrelated and intermixed. And so Jews looked upon the Samaritans as like corrupt pagans. But who does what's right? It's the Samaritan. The Samaritan looks upon this poor man, puts him on his beast, dresses his wounds, takes him to the inn, pays for his keep, and even offers to come back to make up any other costs. The early church fathers said, Jesus is that Samaritan. They looked at the parable, and they said, Jesus is the Samaritan, because we were the ones, due to our original sin, who were left wounded, stripped of our dignity, left to death with no hope of life. But Jesus came to us. And that was shocking, because the scribes and the Pharisees thought it would be this general coming down with an army of angels to wipe out the Romans. No, Jesus, true God, became true man. As St. Paul said in our second passage, he became one like himself, humbling himself. He took on our burden of sin. He associated with the sinners, the tax collectors, the sinners. He offered himself sacrificially on the cross to give us forgiveness of sin and rose to give us everlasting life. So the mind shocker here is Jesus is like that Samaritan. And so, my brothers and sisters, while we have to look upon others as Jesus, we have to remember we, the Good Samaritan, we have to represent Jesus to others. This is a great challenge. When people look upon us, they need to see truly a Christian, one who lives by that name of Christian. I'll give you a little story. This goes back to the 1960s. Now, I learned of this when I was in seminary, so this is the early 80s. When I was working one day a week at St. Agnes Hospital of the parish next door, St. Thomas Aquinas in South Philly, Sister Mary Joan would have us over for dinner, the three seminarians. Very kind, sweet, elderly nun. Now she's deceased. But she was saying how in the 1960s there's so much turmoil, especially in western Philadelphia. Neighborhoods changed overnight. They went from white to black and so on. A lot of racial tension and that. So she was teaching in her school. She's also the principal. And she tried to manage the conflict as best that she could because we're Christians. Well, there's one little girl, little black girl, probably 7th or 8th grade. I don't quite remember. But the little girl came, was resented by some of the white kids, and also that she had just a single mom to raise her. Very poor means. Mom had to work long hours doing some kind of like domestic duties. So Sister Mary Joan always treated her kids fairly, but took a special interest. So she'd invite this one little girl over to the convent after school to do some little chores, but also really to feed her, because that might be the last meal that she would have. She'd give her even some food to take home so that her mom might have food that night too. And eventually, once they were washing dishes, and the little girl asked Sister Mary Joan, she said, "Sister, why is it that white people don't like black people?" And Sister Mary Joan said, "Well, that's not true. Not all white people hate black people. After all, I'm white." And the little girl looked at her and said, "You're white?" Now, granted, she had the old traditional habit on, but that little girl didn't see the social concepts that surrounded her. She saw Jesus through Sister Mary Joan. Wouldn't that be wonderful if every Christian really tried to remember this, that we are called to treat others like Christ would be treated, and we're called to be that Christ in our interactions with people. But to do that, we have to live the commandments, because only by living the commandments can we love God with our whole heart, mind, and soul, and love our neighbor as ourself. It's really time to stop believing in the false prophets who promise hope and change, and believe in the one true Messiah, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. It's time to stop listening to the news that likes to inflame these situations and really listen to the good news, the gospel, and put that into our lives. Because, my brothers and sisters, if we want healing, we need to bring Jesus into our lives and the lives of others. May God bless you.